break of day, in hope we rise, we speak your name. We lift our eyes, tune our hearts into your beat. Where we walk, there you'll be, with fire in our eyes, our lives alight. Your love untamed, it's blazing out, the streets will glow forever bright. Your glory's breaking through the night. You will never fade away, your love is here to stay, by my side in my life, shining through me every day. You will never fade away, your love is here to stay, by my side in my life, shining through me every day.
Excited for this day. My word for next year that God gave me is yes. And when he first gave me that word, I had to think and meditate to see if I really wanted to take ownership in that word. And then the more I began to meditate on the word yes, the more I realized that yes is simply saying yes to every prompting of the Spirit. And this morning, the word that started stirring within me is the word intentional. And Sometimes I make New Year's resolutions. Sometimes you may make them. I don't know. But that word intentional is so strong for me right now because there's already so much talking about waking, that he is waking within me, that he is waking within you, that to be intentional with everything that we know that is there for us, that he has for us, that we know that stirring and waking within us, to be intentional with it, and to just be receptive to receive a fresh word every day, like Dad was talking about last week. And this next song, Exchanging Old for New, it doesn't have to be hard to exchange something old for new. It is a matter of being intentional and saying yes to the new and letting go of those old things that no longer serve you, but saying, Spirit, I am open, that you've got a fresh word today, that you've got something new today. And I'm excited. Mr. Jim Lewis came up to me before the service, and he said, it's going to be a good year for you next year. And I said, Mr. Jim, it's going to be a good year for you next year. And he said, it is. He said, I feel this rumbling in my spirit. And that's what I feel, is this rumbling in my spirit for what's to come. And I'm excited about this day, because I feel like this whole year has laid this foundation for what's to come. Mr. Jim says, it's been lighting the fuse. And I'm excited to embrace the new, to receive the new. And as we sing this song, whatever you walked in here with that needs to just kind of be laid aside and no longer serves you, my prayer is that you have ears to hear and eyes to see that thing. And that it's so simple to just say, God, we receive you. We receive your word. We receive all that you have, and we enter into it, and we're excited to receive it. Amen.
I was torn in a cage. I believe that you're my portion. says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." He has so many promises for our lives. He promises our safety. He promises our assurance. He promises our peace. He promises our love. And every day, like in this song says, he has a new and fresh something for you. He wants to build you up. He wants to guide you. He just wants to hold your hand. So open your hearts to receive every moment, every breath of God, every little word that He has for you, because He's got something. Open your ears to hear. Open your heart to receive it. Hear His breath. That Holy Spirit is within, and it just wants to pour out and minister to our lives and love on us. He is making a way for us. Amen.
Thank you.
so much, Father. Thank you for your unfailing love, your never-ending grace, God. Thank you for pouring into our lives on a moment-by-moment basis, God. You are so good. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you.
Amen. God's good all the time. I want to remind you that in your bulletin is a connection card. Encourage you to fill that out each and every week. If you're a member, if you're a visitor, we'd love for you to fill it out also, but we expect our members to do that. Communicate with us. Let us know what's happening and going on. Today is supposed to be the last day for all of the donations for Puerto Rico. And it is the last Sunday, but if you have items, you can bring them to the office Wednesday or Thursday, and we will still take those items because they won't be leaving until the end of the week. God bless.
I had to confess because I had to confess to some people in the foyer. I got one bottle of the Puerto Rico water. We didn't have any, and I was thirsty. So y'all forgive me.
You give
the
case back.
All right. Before we get started, I want to say to the praise team this morning that, and to all of you who weren't up here singing, that this next year is going to be a tremendous year. What that last song you just sang, a fresh breath and a fresh fire of God is going to fall upon this praise team. And it's going to minister like never have ministered before. About 8:30 this morning, Mr. Tallman went on to be with the Lord, and he was at Eternal Hospice, put in there yesterday. And I went by there, and as I was speaking with the family, I told him, I said, in 40-something years of ministry, nobody has ever said pastor to me the way he said it. He said it with the most affectionate, sincere way, that how it just flowed out of his mouth in such a sweet, sweet way. It really doesn't matter what you call me. I haven't been one you got to call me this or that, except for preacher. Don't really like that one. Some of you know who I'm talking to, looking straight at. And St. John's not what I prefer, but I know y'all ain't quite got there. But so whatever. I'm going to set a picture up. Before I put the picture up, let me set it up. This year, I told Barbara, I said, you know, New Year's Day, I don't want ham and collards. I'm tired of these big old meals. I just don't want that. I want something different, so I think I want a steak for New Year's Day, and let's just keep it simple. But John Henry and Liam, his friend, were at the farm the other day all by themselves, and so they decide, John Henry calls Dusty and asks, can he take two steaks out of the freezer? He knows how to grill them, and Liam knows how to marinate them, and so could they have steak? Well, he'd already taken the steaks out, thawed them out, grilled them, and ate them. But anyway, that's beside the point. But if you're like me and you are looking for something different for New Year's Day and you hadn't decided what you want, this might be what you'd like to eat. Here's the picture. A steak, Cheetos, Fritos, and some cereal, and some Jell-O. Now, that just might be the meal for you on New Year. Now, that would be something new, right? Our next year is about new. Well, here's something really, really new. Steak. There, I think there's a cookie. Yeah, there's a cookie, Cheetos, Fritos, cereal, and milk. That's quite a meal. So that was free. It didn't cost you anything to get that delicious recipe that you may want to try. All right? God bless you. Let's get on with this good stuff. I'm going to put a word up, kainos. And you're going to see this word a lot over the next year. And we really don't know if it's pronounced kainos or kainos, but it really doesn't matter. We'll figure it out by the end of 2018. But this word is the word, the Greek word for the word new. When the Bible says he is making all things new. He didn't say he had made all things new. He said he was making all things new. And that new kainos is not new in existence, but it's renewed, it's refreshing, it's superior in the quality that it once was. How many would like to see 2018 be a refreshing, renewing year? And that things that are have gotten a little old and stagnant to be revived and be refreshed and be renewed in your life? How would you like your relationships to be refreshed and be renewed? How would you like to see just a lot of good things happen in 2018? You know, 8 is the number of new beginnings. And Jesus, to see this happen, I want to set this message up. See this happen, you've got to have a vision for it. And let that sink in for a moment. Kind of past the time of preaching messages just for the sake of preaching messages. Just kind of tired of that. Preaching's not just to give us a word, it's to give us a vision. The Bible says without a vision, people perish. This can mean everything to you, or this can mean nothing to you. As far as I'm concerned, for me, this means everything to me. This word for 2018, this message for 2018, this vision for it is not a message. It's a word from God. It's a word from heaven. It's a word to refresh and renew my life and everything that's in it. Everything that's in it. No matter what it is, I want it refreshed and renewed in my life. And Jesus had a vision when he came to this earth. And I want to tell you why Jesus came. In Luke 19 and 10, it says that Jesus came to seek and to save those that are lost. Or you could say it this way. He came to seek and save that which has been lost. He comes to find what's lost and bring it back. Maybe you've lost some things. He wants you to find those things again. And again, in John 10:10, it says, Jesus came. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. How many want that one? How many has had enough stealing and killing and destruction? And you want to see rich and satisfying life. Paul had a purpose for his life in Acts 20:24. He said, but my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. The good news about the wonderful grace of God. I've said this once, I've said it 1,000 times. How we lost it, how the church lost it over the years. The gospel is good news. It's not bad news, it's good news. It's good news of a God who sent his son to make all things new, to make the earth new, to make whatever you've lost new, to make everything fresh and vibrant in your life. And there's three things, there's three words. And these three words are, I hope to pray to God that next year these three words just resonate in your life like never before. We're going to talk about each one of them, but it's faith and hope and love. We've read those things, we've said those things, and now about if these three, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And it sounds real poetic and real sweet sounding, but those three words are the catalyst of your life. Those three words are the most powerful words in your life, because without those three things, you can't have new. You can't see the renewing of things in your life without those three words. And we got to keep faith and hope and love refreshed and vibrant in our lives. Got to. All right, here's my key thought for you for 2018. You ready? Don't pray to God to get you out of a mess. Clean it up. You know, you stand in your kitchen all day long and ask God to clean up the mess. And guess what? It's not going to happen. Who's going to clean it up? You. Thank you, Johnny. Jet. He's my new Ralph. And if you don't clean it up, it's not going to get... Now, you can hire somebody to clean it up, but it's just going to cost you. What I'm getting to, it's just not going to happen. You got to clean up the mess that you made. Jesus has left us here on this earth. We're here on this earth to continue to clean up the messes that we make. It's not just going to happen. I saw a blog this week and a lady talking about the restoration of her marriage and what happened over the last few years. But you know what? She could have said like this, well, God restored my marriage, but he didn't. He gave her the tools to do it. He gave her the principles to do it, but she restored that marriage. You see, he gives us the tools, he gives us the principles, but we've got to work it. If I want renewed stuff in my life, if I want refreshed stuff in my life, then I am going to have to do it. I'm going to have to do it. Nobody's going to, I wish it was like, there's a young lady in our church who comes from time to time last Sunday morning. She came down for communion. You probably saw me come over and kind of calm her down. She got a little confused down here. And so I went over and calmed her down. And how I calmed her down, I just said, is Santa Claus coming to see you? And so that just calmed her down. But I'm saying that she calls me Darren. She watches the old Bewitch sitcom. And she says, I look like Darren. And now I wish I was married to someone like that that could just do their nose or snap and, you know, things get straightened out. But that's not how it works, is it? That is not how. But we got to, there are people, I see posts, I see prayers, I see people make statements as though God's just going to come down and straighten it all out. He's not going to do that. I wish I could tell you he was, but he's not. If you want a better life, you want something new and fresh in your life, you're going to have to see to it that it happens in your life. You're going to have faith. You're going to have to believe for it with every fiber of your being because faith is so important. I'm getting ahead of myself. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through whatever. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has, now look at that word, begun. In other words, a new life has begun. That means it's on a journey. That old things are passing away and all things are becoming new. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. I love that scripture. I could read that scripture every Sunday morning. Because it's my vision, it's my life goal. It's my life purpose. It's what I want you to do. That's what I want us to do. Wow. That all things just keep becoming new. Don't you? It's going to happen by faith. Say faith. Faith. Strong word. Powerful word. One of the most powerful words in your vocabulary. But it's not a word just to read. It's a word to live. By faith are you saved through grace, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's impossible to please God without faith. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is God, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is important because the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Yet I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Faith is seeing, not believing. Some people got to see to believe. Faith is seeing without actually seeing it. Thomas came to Christ and he said, I've got to see the nail-scarred hands. I got to see the side before I can believe. Jesus said, blessed are those who have never seen, yet they believe. Wow. Calling those things that are not as though they were. I want my faith renewed this next year. I want my faith refreshed this next year. The Bible says in Romans 10, 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the good news about Christ. That's how faith comes. You got to keep hearing it, and hearing it, and hearing it. Now log in with me, focus with me right now, because what I'm about to say to you is going to be one of the most important things you've ever heard in your life. Ever heard in your life. So, focus with me. The Bible, the Word of God, is a deeply spiritual book, an ancient literary masterpiece, and a guide into the depths of the human experience. Instead, when you read the Bible, of asking God, what does this mean? Ask, what effect does this passage of story have on me? We've built denominations after denominations after denominations after denominations on doctrines. Doctrines. You got to believe this. You got to believe this. And we've failed to know that the greatest interpretation of Scripture is a person who's living it out. I mean, this is I think it's Latin, I really don't know, but it's called Lectio Divina. It means divine reading. It is not reading the Scriptures to get you a doctrine. How many have ever been around religious arguments? I mean, come on now. The biggest thing people fight over is politics and religions. Politics, what they believe. Well, I believe this. Well, I believe that. I believe that. It don't matter what you believe. The devil believes and trembles. That's what the Bible says. Don't mean a whole lot. Doesn't mean anything that you believe. That's a starting point, and that's kind of cool, and that's good. But listen, that's not what it's about. Believing is the faith to believe is so I can be changed and that I'm different. That is the greatest interpretation of Scripture. God is love. Interpret that. Walk it out. Love one another. Don't tell me that's a doctrine. Walk it out. Forgive one another. Don't tell me that's a doctrine. Walk it out. Submit to one another. Don't tell me that's a doctrine. Walk it out. It's not about a doctrinal degree. It's not about knowing what the Scripture says. It's about living what the Scripture says. We've got to have faith. Hope. Hope. Wow. I love that word. Expecting the best. Let's read Hebrews 6, 13 through 19. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater to swear by. God took an oath in his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised. Now when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath. I want you to read that and see that. God bound himself with an oath that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. I mean, it's like saying, I promise I'll do something. And we've all said that. We've all made promises and broke them. But it's not just saying, God's not just saying, I promise. That would be enough for God to say, I promise. That would be enough. But God added to it, and he says, I'm going to add to my promise. I'm going to give you my oath. I'm going to give you the oath based upon who I am. My word is exalted even above my name. So I'm going to give you my oath that I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to make you fruitful. Therefore, these two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Hope brings us into the very presence of God. An anchor for my soul. An anchor to anchor me down in any circumstance that comes my way. An anchor to pull up and set sail with. But whether I'm anchored down or it's pulled up and I'm sailing, the anchor never leaves me. The anchor never leaves me. But it's always with me. I got to have this hope that we talked about weeks ago. The casual hope, the precious hope, and the ultimate hope. The casual hope, I hope it doesn't rain. I hope Georgia wins tomorrow evening. Now I know, Brandon, that's a precious hope for you. But it shouldn't be. And I know you're spiritual enough that you'll walk through that. And you'll make it a casual hope in the future. And a lot of you, I really know it's a precious hope. I know it's precious to you. It's not casual. It's very precious. But you know what? A year from now, it won't matter. A month from now, it won't matter. Y'all are hardcore. Amen. Y'all, let me preach over here because y'all know that the Bulldogs winning tomorrow is not a precious hope, don't you? I know you know it, John. It don't mean nothing to you. But there's casual hopes and there's precious hopes that really are more deeper and they are a little more difficult to get over. But your ultimate hope is what you've got to hold on to. Your ultimate hope is in the category that this thing won't destroy my heart. That whatever comes my way, I'm going to overcome. I hope God will forgive me, and he will. I hope these mistakes can be redeemed and renewed and restored, and they can be. Those are ultimate hopes. My ultimate hopes is when I mess up, I can get this thing straightened out. I can take God's word. I can take his principles. I can take his instructions, and I can get this thing straightened out in my life. That's my ultimate hope. Everything else, it just don't matter, folks. Because ultimately, it's our hope in God. Expectation of good. Expectation of good. Faith, believe what you can't see. Hope, expect the very best. Faith, see what you believe. And even when you can't see it, you believe it. Hope, expecting the very best. Love, overlooking the very worst. Overlooking the very worst. I saw something in the greatest two commandments this week. That there's a third commandment buried in it. He came and said, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Second one is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you see the third commandment in the two?
Love yourself.
Love yourself. love yourself. And so I got to thinking about that. I have no problem loving myself. I'll tell you why this is important. I thought about this, Keith. If I put this in order for you, it would sound like this. Love God, right? I'd say love God first. Love my neighbor. I'd say that looks like the order in there. As myself. If I don't love myself, I can't love God nor my neighbor. Now watch this. God, the creator of heaven and earth and me, created in God's likeness, God's likeness in God's image. Right? Got it? How can I not love what the creator of the universe created? And so when I love me, I can love God and I can love you. But I gotta love me. It's not a selfish thing. It's not an arrogant thing. It's a very grateful thing to the creator of the universe that you love what he created. Does that make sense? Does it make sense? So, I read, again, 1 Corinthians 13, and I want to paraphrase some of it, and some of it I'm not going to paraphrase. Let me tell you why love's so important. Let me tell you why he said, now abideth these three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Here's why love's the greatest. Love covers. Love protects. Love overlooks. It doesn't keep records of wrongs. It's not jealous. Has no need to be right. Never gives up. Never loses faith. Is always hopeful. And endures through every circumstance. Wow. Anybody got a borrow your bulletin, Joe? On the back of your bulletin, everybody take your bulletin and turn on the back. Everybody is going to be somewhere at the end of next year. Some of you are going to be somewhere on purpose. But you're going to be somewhere spiritually, you're going to be somewhere emotionally, you're going to be somewhere physically, right? You're going to be somewhere. Everybody's got to be somewhere. Well, you're either going to be somewhere at the end of 2018, haphazardly, or you're going to be somewhere on purpose. Now, I'm okay with New Year's resolutions, but I've tried to make them. Every one I've made, I broke. So I made two. The last 2 years, I was going to play more golf and fish more. I broke those. I mean, if you can't keep those resolutions, what can you keep? My gosh. I mean, I broke those, just shattered them. So on the back of it, I want you to look at these statements. I want you to bear with me for a few minutes because I want it to sink in. And I give you what my purpose and goal is for next year. At the end of 2018, the thing that was most important to me was. Fill that in. You don't have to do it right now, but if you do, you can. People say I stood for. I made a difference in my world by. God was glorified because I. People knew I loved them because. And the reason I expect God to say, well done, is. My most important one on this, you know, people talking about hearing God say, well done, always think about heaven. You know, when you get to heaven, he says, well done. I mean, a lot to hear God say, well done now. Now. Not when you get to heaven. Now, God said over Jesus one time, he said, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I mean, like the, you know, I want y'all, I'd like for you to tell me now, not at my eulogy. Now, what you mean. Now, how you care. These three amigos right there. These three right here, Jason and Brandon, Jared. I saw you sitting there. God told me to give you three this word. You're rising up to be pillars in this church. It's not coincidental, accidental, you're sitting together. There's a real purpose in the three of your lives. And spiritually, this church is going to go places and reach levels and goals because you three are finding your purpose in the kingdom of God. And faith, hope, and love will be your motivating factor. It'll be what gets you through. And you're not going to leave here today and say, that was a good word. You're going to leave here today with a passion like you've never had to have faith, to have hope, and to have love. When I wrote this down, I knew what I wanted. The most important thing to me was people. At the end of 2018, I want the most important thing to me have been was people. People say I stood for truth. There's one thing I want people to say I stood for is truth. And I sat at my table week after week, month after month, year after year. And truth has cost me so much. Truth has cost me so much. And I'm not going to give up on it. I'm not going to give up on it. And I'm going to stand for it. If I'm wrong, I'll change. If I'm wrong, I'll be the first to tell you I'm wrong. If I see it differently, I'll be the first to tell you I see it differently. If I tell you something this month and next month I see it differently, I promise you I will tell you if all I can see in it, all I can know about it. I'll change my heart. I'll change my mind. Whenever God says that's not the way it is, I'll take it. But I want to say I stood for truth. I made a difference in the world by how I live my life and sharing with others. God was glorified because I lived my purpose. People knew I loved them because I shared with them. But this is my most important. The reason I expect God to say well done at the end of 2018, because I kept faith and hope and love as my priority. Your greatest priority in your life is your faith and your hope and your love. Without faith, you can't even get into the kingdom. Without hope, you're not going to stay in it. Without love, you can't have either of the two. So it ain't a pick or choose. It's not a pick or choose this year. It's I got to have all three. I got to have all three. Just like I'm a spirit and a soul and a body, you can't separate them. You can't separate them. I can't choose faith or hope or love. I got to have all three. I got to have all three. So when I read the stories, at least I'm in the Bible right there. One of you. I'm having a hard time communicating with my sign language today, aren't I? And you read it, don't go, wow, that's a good doctrine. Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. Oh, that couldn't have happened. A whale can't swallow anything bigger than a basketball. Fighting over whether or not a great fish swallowed Jonah or not. What does it mean to me?
Right.
Don't worry about the doctrine, whether it's this or that. What does that mean to me?
Yeah.
What does it mean to me? He called me to be fishers of men. That's what it means to me. I don't want to be swallowed up by the fish that I'm supposed to be winning. I'm a fisher of men. What does it mean? What is that scripture? What is that passage? What does that story mean to me? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Oh, great doctrine on forgiveness. What does that mean to me? Neither do I condemn you. If Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee, what should I say? Wow. Read a statement this week. I want you to stand. And it has a lot to do with my understanding more and more. I mean, you know, Jesus said, love your enemies. If God tells you to love your enemies, guess what? He loves his enemies. I know that's simple, but it's pretty profane too. Because you think by hearing a lot that God hates his enemies, he's going to throw them in a fire and burn them all up one day. That's what it sounds like. That's for the future. God loves everybody. And we have to look at people now, not after the flesh, but after the spirit. As we begin to see them the way God sees them. And that's going to make the difference in our lives and in other people's lives. I'm talking about a faith that's not what you have right now. I'm talking about a faith that is so exciting and so vibrant and so refreshing and so renewed that you feel like you just got it for the very first time. You remember when you first got it for the very first time? You remember when? God, you believed it. You didn't have any doubts. Preacher could tell you the moon is blue and you'd believe it. The moon is pink right now. You'd believe it. The sun's no longer here. You believe it. You just, you wanted refresh, renew. A hope that's so refresh and renew. A love that's so vibrant. That when I walk in the door, Barbara's going to just fall in the floor. Ha! He's home. Ha! Golly, look at him. Wow. Wow. I didn't know you'd gotten so good looking now for the... Wow. I thought you were good looking when we got married, but now... Ah! Wow. You said, that can't be. It won't be. It won't. You don't believe it? It won't. I said something the other week and kind of teasing. I said, you know, I'm so big on this new thing. I want to get all new clothes. I just want to wipe out my closet and get all new clothes. And somebody said to me last week, said, that's a new shirt. I said, yeah, this is a new shirt. I said, I ain't got all new. He said, well, you can get them all new. You said you're going to get all new, so get all new. I just thought... Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Believe it.
Yeah.
Hope. Love. Right? You see, it's just as important for me to tell you I believe in you as God telling you he believes in you. It's important that I tell you that. It's important that you hear me tell you that. Because we are his voice. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his vessels that he uses in this earth, in this planet. And that's why it's so important that we use that voice and we use these feet and we use these hands, we use this heart, we use what we have and who we are to do what God bids us to do. Because if we don't do it, it ain't going to get done. If we don't say it, it's not going to be said. Because I've been in this thing 40-something years and I've not one time heard God speak to me in an audible voice. Not one time. But yet I have. Because sometimes Will says to me something. I heard God in an audible voice. The other Wednesday night, God was Barbara. And she spoke God's voice to me audibly. She said, pull that anchor up. For some people, they need to put their anchor down. She said, not you, Bjorn. You need to pull your anchor up. You got to set sail, boy. You got to set sail. You got new territories, new visions, new things to see, new things to do. You got to pull your anchor up. And then she said something I really didn't like. I really didn't. How many of God ever say something to you that you really didn't like? Anybody ever say something to you you really didn't like? She said, you and Jesus are going to have a come together meeting. That didn't sound as sweet as pull up your anchor and sail on new ventures. I like that other one. Me and Jesus having to come to Jesus meeting. Because every time I ever heard somebody have a come to Jesus meeting, it was a come to Jesus meeting. Now, I don't know when we're going to have that, but you know what? God said we was. And I'm probably not going to even tell you about it. But you know what? Guess what? Guess what? I'm not going to have to tell you about it. You're going to see it. So me and Jesus have our come together meeting. You'll know it. I won't even have to tell you. You'll just see it. See it. Thank you, Dusty. Appreciate my daughter to say that. My grandson, you know, it's easy to have this pep club over here. Come on, I need some of y'all. Yeah, thank you, Ron. I appreciate it, Ken. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Good work. Good work. Good stuff. Give me five. Give me five. Good stuff. Good stuff. You with me? Faith, hope, and love. You with me? Everybody with me? Not just my fam. Georgia's going to win. Everybody ready? You with me? You with me? All right. You with me? You with me? You with me? Gotcha. I know you with me. All right. I can't do this alone. Can't do this alone. I want you to be just as excited about this as I am. Just as excited as I am about it. Because let me tell you something. Some of you are going to have some things to share about this next year. You're going to have some things to say to this congregation about what we're talking about. You really are. You're going to have some things to say, to impart and to input. I'm not the only voice in this house. Thank God we got a lot of voices in this house. We got a lot of good words in this house. I love you. God loves you. We love each other. I've never seen a group of people that I believe love one another the way that you do. I really don't. You got it down. Just think how it's going to be when it's taken up to a higher level of faith, a higher level of hope, a higher level of love. Just think what that's going to be like. Just think about it. Mm-hmm. There was a day in your life that you thought would never come. And that day is coming. You thought it would never pass, but it's going to pass. You thought you would never see it, but you're going to see it. You thought it would never end, but it's going to end. You thought you'd never possess it, but you are going to possess it. You thought you could never, ever get over it, but you're going to get over it. You thought you could never forgive them, but you're going to forgive them. You thought it was for everybody else but me, but you're going to see it's just as much for you as it is for everybody else. You thought it would never come in, but you're going to see it with your own eyes. And you're going to be like Job, who said, I heard with my ears, but now I see with my eyes the goodness of God.
God's been working on me since the first song this morning to get up here and speak, and I've been trying to ignore him, but then Buren keeps saying things that tells me I need to come up and share this. This refreshing is going to happen when you spend time with God every morning and he gives you that fresh word. Last week really spoke to me about the fresh manna, because God had already placed in my heart that I can't eat yesterday's manna today. I have to seek him in the morning and ask for my manna, the manna that I need for today. And so today, I've been working on, all year I've been working on Jonathan Cahn's, I guess that's how you pronounce his name, the Book of Ministries. And today's manna was, exchange what you have for what God has. And so I asked God, what does that mean in my life? And he said to me, when you doubt, give me your doubt and exchange it for my faith. When you're negative, give me your negativity and receive my positivity. When you need healing, give me your affliction and receive my healing. He said to me, everything that you have is not of me. Give it to me, so I can exchange what I have and give it to you.
Wow. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to turn it off. Amen. Scripture says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Elijah was in a place of deep depression. There was a great storm and fire, and said God wasn't in it. But God came in a still, small voice. That's what's happening right now. You just hear this still, small voice. I say this to you, and I promise I'll let you go. I was reading yesterday, and I went to a passage in 2 Kings, I think chapter 13. And it was Elisha's last moment on earth. And he tells the king to go over to the window, take his arrow and shoot it out over the armies, the enemies of Israel. But it said, I never saw this before. But he put the bow in the king's hand, and the king took the bow. And the Bible says, and Elisha put his hand on the bow. So when he shot the arrow, it was as though God was with him, letting him know, God is with you. You got to shoot the arrow, but God is with you. But you got to shoot it. You got to do it, but God is with you. But you got to do it. And I've said this many times, and he said, take the arrows that are in your hand and strike the floor. And it says he struck the floor 3 times. And Elisha said to the king, I'm paraphrasing, where's your passion? Where's your really faith in this thing? You should have struck it 5 or 6 times. But because you only struck it 3 times, you'll only be victorious 3 times. And then it says, and Elisha died. I'm telling you what God spoke to. This may be my come to Jesus meeting I had yesterday, didn't even know it. I believe my cup to Jesus meeting was, I'm telling you, strike those arrows like you mean it. Yeah. And this is the last time I'm going to tell you. Strike them arrows like you mean it. Do it like you mean it. Say it like you mean it. Because I'm not going to be here, Elisha said, anymore to tell you. You're here today, some of you, a few of you, that God's speaking to you. Strike your arrows like you mean it. Pick up this thing like you mean it. Don't be haphazard about it. Go after it with all your heart, with all your strength. Pick up that armor. Pick up that shield. Pick up that sword. Pick it up and go on. Don't be timid to shy about it. Pick it up. But do it like you mean it. Say it like you mean it. You know, when you believe things on Sunday morning, you know, 99% of the time when you really believe it is when I say it like I mean it. It's when you believe it. It goes into... Do it like you really believe it. Don't be haphazard about it. Be purposeful. Be intentional about it. Thank you. As you walk out this door, some of you, as you go through the door, you're going to feel the pack fall off your back. You're going to literally feel the burden fall off your back.
You may be seated. I want to encourage you to be here Wednesday night, First Wednesday. We are being intentional about First Wednesdays. A little different than what we have done before. It's not going to be the same songs we did on Sunday. Matter of fact, praise team, I need you to hear this. I feel like God has said it's time for us to begin using the music that He has put inside of you. And the Wednesday nights is the time to flesh it out. And we've talked for a year about beginning to do that. And we need to do that. As the ushers are preparing to receive our morning's tithes, offerings, and alms, remind you that on the last Sunday of each month, we emphasize the alms. Over $28,000 this year you gave that went to help feed people, to keep utilities on, to touch people's lives, make a difference in this community and in this kingdom, all through this little box. Now, some of you do it online, which is fine. Some of you do it on a weekly basis, and that's fine. We just want to continue to remind you that that's what we're doing through Rushton Hope, Food Pantry, all of those things. Let's stand. We're going to end with worship. And I want you to praise God for all the things that He has shown you and done in this past year. But so excited and looking forward to all the things that He has for us in this upcoming year.